Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
Let's try that again. Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
It is great to see you out this morning. We have several announcements to go through, and I'm going to ask for a little bit of help. And one more thing that I'm going to ask for is if God has done something in your life and you have a testimony you'd like to share, be thinking about that, because after the singing this morning, we're going to have a little bit of time of testimony. So if God has done something and you'd like to share it, then we would like to hear it this morning, okay? So I'll have that in your mind as we begin the service here. For the announcements, if you'll take your bulletin and go through these with me, Awana officially registration begins today. So after the morning service, we'd like to register the kids for Awana, and that way on Wednesday we can just jump right into beginning the program. So if you would like to register your children, you can do that right after the morning service in the Welcome Center, and Alana Stout will be out there to get you signed up. And then on Wednesday nights, we have something for the entire family. And so on Wednesday nights now, Awana starts up. We have youth group going. We have a college group that will begin. And we also will have an adult group. And the adult group eventually will get to Crisis 101. But we're actually going to start with a couple weeks just to kind of get the ball rolling. We're calling it Family 101. And so we want to encourage everybody. There's something for all of you to come out and be part of on Wednesday nights. Now, this Wednesday, we also start, we have Awana, youth group, the college group, adults. We also begin our meals for Wednesday nights. And so those meals, we have people that cook those. And so we need to know how many people to prepare for. And the cost is $5 per person, or for an individual, and then $10 for family. Okay, you can't eat at McDonald's for that price. So we're trying to make it so people don't have to go stop somewhere before work. You can just come here to church. The dinner will start at 5:15, and we'll be over in time for you to get to whatever class you'll be part of. Now, we need you to sign up. If you don't sign up, then you will not be given food until everybody who has signed up has eaten. So make sure that you sign up at the Welcome Center so we know how many people to have food for. And also this Wednesday, the choir will be leaving the church. Where's Paul? Paul, what time will the choir be leaving the church to go over to practice with Galilee? Okay, so those who are singing in the choir for our combined outreach event with Galilee Baptist Church, the choir will leave here at 6. 7, okay. The choir, meet here at 7, okay. I'm all confused, Paul. Meet here at 6, leave here at 7. All right, there we go. So choir will meet here at 6, leave here at 7. That's why I'm asking Paul, because I have no idea. All right. On September 22nd, we're only 2 weeks away from that, is our outreach in downtown Kalamazoo at Bronson Park. And we would like to encourage you, even if you haven't signed up to work or you haven't been given a specific task, we want to encourage you to come and be part of it. That day, we will be signing a covenant. And this covenant is a statement against racism, that we believe racism is sin. And as we sign this covenant with them, we would like for everybody in our church to be there and to be part of it, even if you're not running a station. Now, some of the stations that we'll have there, we have Kalamazoo Public Safety will be there, and several Kalamazoo resource agencies will be there from the school systems, for families, for women's health, their voter registration. There's free haircuts that will be given away that day. Obviously, there's food, bounce houses. We need 10 people, and I believe the teens are helping to get these people. We need 10 people to just help during the noon to 3 assemble blankets. And the reason we're assembling those blankets, they'll be given to the homeless. And so United Way will be providing that along with UPS. Also that day, UPS will be there, and they'll be taking job applications and trying to hire people into work. So we've got a lot of really neat things that will be there, as well as the choir singing and Pastor Scott and myself preaching a message together, and then the signing of the covenant. And it's going to be a great, great day. So we want to encourage everybody here at 12th Street to be there, bring somebody with you, and it's really going to be a powerful example to our community. Yesterday, I was able to be on 95.5, which is the R&B station in Kalamazoo, and they did a six-minute interview with me, and free advertising, right? And next Saturday at 10 a.m., I'll be on WKZO for another interview about this, and that's 590 a.m., and so it's great that we're getting some publicity from this, but also just be in prayer that God really does a great thing for that event. We also need small bottles of water, hot dogs, hot dog buns, and small bags of chips to give away that day. So if you would like to donate any of those, please see Cheryl so she can, or sign up at the Welcome Center with that, so we can make sure that we have all of that taken care of. The next deacon meeting is September 19th at 7:30, just to keep the deacons aware. And then also the committee meetings will meet September 23rd after the morning service. So please be aware of all of those things as well. Next Sunday, there's a baby shower for Jorge and Jackie Cortez. And so it's the ladies will be part of the baby shower, but the men are also having a time where they meet. So if you don't know Jackie and Jorge, it's a great time to get to know them. So I'd like to encourage you to sign up for that so we make sure we have everything provided for that. Now, here's where I need some more help. We've had a sign-up sheet out at the Welcome Center for Junior Church, and that's almost full. So thank you for helping to get that filled up. But our pre-K church time has not been signed up for. Right now, Brandy Roberts and Rachel Sage take care of our pre-K church time, and they do it every Sunday. And they need two people to help rotate with them and help so that they can get a break and actually come into church once in a while. So I need two volunteers for the pre-K church time. And I will sit here and wait until we get them. All right. Brenda DeReicher will volunteer. And April Garcia will volunteer. All right. So we have those two. We will make sure we write you down. I'll make sure I connect you with them. Thank you very much. We needed that taken care of. All right. Oh, we're not done yet. For Sunday school, we have a first and second grade group, and right now Ellen Mack teaches that. Brenda DeReicher has already signed up to be on rotation to help, but Brenda seems to be the one that's filling in for everybody. Thank you, Brenda. So we need another person to say, I will fill in for the first and second graders. I will be on a rotation or when Ellen is gone to be able to help to teach that class. Sunday school. Pat Christ, you'll do that? Thank you, Pat. All right. And then for the 4 and 5 year olds, for pre-K, that's pre-K through kindergarten, Tammy Berry teaches them, and we need two people that she can call on to be in rotation with her or to help her when she can't be here. And I know Tammy's very faithful. She's done this for years and years and years, but during the Sunday school hour, we need someone that can help to be her sub or even give her a break when she needs one. So, pre-K, this is a hard one, right? Pre-K through kindergarten. I need someone to help. I need two people to help with that. All right. Jamie, thank you. And Julie. All right. We will get you on that list as well. And if you rose your hand, please sign up at the Welcome Center too so we make sure. I'm trying to remember all these things, but your signing up will help it. And then last group we need help with is the 3rd through 5th grade. And for Sunday school, Amanda Headley teaches that class right now. Brenda DeReicher has signed up to be a sub to help there. But we need one more person to help with that. Scott Randolph, you'll help with that? All right. I need someone to help Scott. He needs someone to help that can help him just with the reading. And Jorge, you'll take care of that? Thank you. All right. All taken care of. Now we can go to the Lord in prayer. All right, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for all that we have going on here at 12th Street. I thank you for our faithful workers. And Lord, every week we have people that work hard, they faithfully serve, they do it without any fanfare. And Lord, I thank you that we can find some people to help step in and just provide a respite for them, or have that extra person to fill in when needed. And so thank you, Lord, that you provide the people that we need. And thank you, Lord, for the events that will begin. As school has begun for the children, now we begin Awana, and youth group will be kicking off strongly on Wednesday nights again, and getting a college group started. Lord, with all of the different things that we have going on, Lord, I pray that your blessing would be in all of it. And I thank you for those who are volunteering to help in those areas as well. Lord, we are so blessed as a church to have so many people that are willing to help. So, Lord, as we go through this day, I pray that as people are thinking right now about blessings that are in their life, I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage them to share those things that you have done. Because, Lord, you tell us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if we've been redeemed, we've been helped by the good things that you've done, I pray, Lord, this morning we'd hear the voicing of those things and understand that our God is at work in wonderful ways. So, Lord, we ask for your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with The Lion and the Lamb.
Our God is the light. Thank you. sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Your name is power, breath, and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. Father, we just pray that our hearts are open and receptive to the message that you have for us this morning. Father, we just pray for our pastor as he comes. We just pray you pour your spirit out on him, Lord. Just give him the words to say that would impart the message that you have for us today. And Father, we just pray you forgive us where we failed you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would the ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Father, we come before you today thanking you for the blessings today. Thank you for your power and your strength. Thank you for living inside us. We pray that you just bless this offering in a mighty way. It says in the Bible, It's more blessed to give than to receive. We take that for granted, Lord. We just pray that you just bless this offering. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh,
Thank you, choir. At this time, our children may be dismissed to children's church. And as the children head out, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Freya was driving home when she saw an elderly woman walking on the side of the road, and so she stopped the car and asked the woman if she would like a ride. With a silent nod, the woman climbed into the car, and Freya tried in vain to make conversation with the elderly woman. The elderly lady closely looked at everything she saw in the car, studying every little detail, until she noticed a red gift bag on the seat next to Freya. "What's in the bag?" asked the old woman. "It's a bottle of cologne that I got for my husband." The elderly woman was silent for another minute or two. Then, speaking with the quiet wisdom of an elder, she said, "Good trade." You can go home and think about that one. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus unto Timothy, unto the church, and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or proper, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing for God, or with God, to recompense or to repay the tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could say with confidence that the church in Thessalonica, that the people there would bring glory to God by their faith and by their manner of living. And how do we give glory to God? How do we, even today, how are we able to allow others to see his glory? And I think one of those ways is through sharing testimony. So, did anyone think of any good thing that God is doing in your life that you would like to testify about this morning, that you'd like to share about? If you would like to do that, come on down and sit in the front row, and we will get to you up here on your right side. Is there anybody that would like to share testimony? Right down here on this side over here. All right, we'll start off, Paul.
Of 2016, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in my throat. Came here to this church, and Pastor Thad and Some of the elders laid their hands on me and prayed, and it's gone. It's a miracle, and it's still in remission. A couple of months after that, I had a... I had my appendix go on me, and I wasn't able to operate right away in 3 days because I was on blood thinners. Again, I was prayed for. I had a very serious diverticulitis because my appendix ruptured, but God was with me, took that away. I'm here. It's a miracle. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Scott? Do you want me to hold it up?
Yeah, will you? A lot of people, well, I've been prayed for prostate cancer. That's gone. I've been prayed for a lot of serious things. I'm back from Vietnam. Not a bullet hit the helicopter I was flying in. But a lot of things people don't understand God's for, and that's even the most stupid of things and the most non-serious of things. Incidentals. About, 2 months ago, I was trying to transfer into my easy chair from my wheelchair. I did a perfect dive into my recliner. It was. Judges gave me a 10.0. It broke the chair, though. I called Art Van up, and they came over and said it would be at least 9-10 weeks before they could come out to even assess what can be done to fix the chair. At prayer meeting, by prayer meeting time, though, they told me it'd be 9 weeks before they could, they showed up about the next day. They showed up and they said it'd be about 10 weeks before they could come and fix the chair. I'm falling asleep in this wheelchair because I can't get in and out. I had to call the fireman to get me out of the chair and into the wheelchair. At prayer meeting, I prayed that I didn't have to, that we could get the parts, fixed of the regular chair fixed, because I was falling asleep in the wheelchair and almost falling out of the wheelchair. They showed up in 3 weeks. We prayed that in Philippians 4, it says, all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I praise God for that verse, and I praise God that it did come true. Amen. Pastor took me down. Here's the neat thing. Pastor took me to a place called Value City. I found a chair because I needed a chair a lot sooner than 9 weeks. Well, I found a chair. And I had planned about $800 or so for a new chair. I found a chair, bought one. And so I went ahead, made the provision or made the accommodation. By the way, the salesman, black guy, He went to he goes to Galilee. He's a beautiful Christian man. Oh, he said we couldn't get it for 2-3 weeks because of transportation. If you know the attitude of the pastor, that was changed to that day. And instead of he said we just needed to find a van to put that into. Pastor makes a phone call. Oh, I had to pay for the transportation. No problem. Did. Pastor makes a phone call. Hey, Don Lewis, you got time to transport Scott's new chair from Value City, which is across, to his house. New chair. Why are you buying a new chair? I got one here in the office. You want it? It's a raised recliner. I'll give it to you for free. Transportation will cost you $5. By the way, that's my joke. See the difference in jokes? And by the way, Don said he'd pay the $5 and buying us lunch. Why do I still doubt God? I don't know. And my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Why don't I believe that yet? Amen.
Well, at 1st of August, we can thank God that I'm still here because I got two blood clots on my lungs and they're still there. They'll be there for the next 6 months and I'm supposed to be on oxygen. But the Lord gave me the breath to be in church today and the Lord is a miracle worker and he got me this far. He got me out of a nursing home in a week and a half. And right now I'm recuperating at home, and the Lord Jesus don't know what a miracle the Lord can do when he has to. And I praise the Lord every day that I am this far so far. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Yes, well, Scott was talking. Of course, me and Scott's buddies.
He's my dad.
Yeah, that's right. He's my son. Anyway, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and sometimes we try to fight him. But I want you to know today, don't fight him. Do what he says, because you'll be blessed. Even though you don't know exactly how it's going to turn out, it might require a lot of work, but you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to serve him and not ourselves. I appreciate my wife for all the things she's gone through and how it's drawn us so close together now because it's almost over with the move. And we just want to glorify God, that's all. And our grandchildren are so happy. And that's what we wanted to do, is make them happy.
Thank you, Don. First, I'd like to thank all of these gentlemen and the lady for their testimony. Mine's going to be quick and easy because I just feel like quick and easy today. To make a really long story short, as some of you may know, my wife Jacqueline and I were expecting our first child soon. And then trying to balance that and work and a whole bunch of other things going on in life, we can get very busy. And then so lately, I've been working anywhere between 4:10s and 3:12s and a 7 to accommodate just the appointments that I really want to be a part of the entire pregnancy for. And sometimes that can make us very not patient and not kind and really doubt if things are going to be possible. But they're small things that remind us to be patient, to be kind, and that ultimately to have that non-ending faith that things will work out if we pray and according to his ways. So I've recently found out, this is a huge blessing for myself, that while I was working, there was a glitch in the system somehow, and I wasn't accruing PTO the way I was supposed to be. So I actually have almost 4 weeks that I can use as I please that I didn't even know I had, that I can spend now doing what I need to do with appointments and with my kid and being here, which is a really big blessing. So praise Jesus that that occurred, and I wasn't expecting it at all. It's just things that pop up. But I wanted to let you guys know about that. It's just a huge blessing for me. It's just out of time. And I want to encourage everybody up here that did give their testimony to be patient, to be kind, and to not give up. It is our human nature to doubt and to not be patient and not be kind. But that's what we're here for, and that's why we believe the way we do. Because Jesus in us can do that, and we can do it through him. Thank you.
So there's a common thread in every testimony. There's a hardship, right? A persecution, a tribulation, something difficult. And what does God do? He shows himself to be faithful. And then when he receives the glory, he is glorified. If we don't give him the glory, then no one is glorified. If we don't give him the glory, then it's just like what happens with people in the world. Wow, I can't believe that worked out. What a coincidence. Or I'm really glad that those circumstances turned my way. See, here in 2 Thessalonians 1, as Paul writes to the church, he's trying to encourage them in their faith. And as he encourages them in the faith, the big word that he uses in this passage is glory, glorified. There are several key thoughts, and in order to really understand how that glory comes about, let's go through these key thoughts. We're going to move very quickly through the message here. And the first key thought that we see is the word tribulation. Tribulation. In verse 4, he talks about persecutions and tribulations. Verse 5, he talks about the fact that they suffered. Verse 6, they had trouble. Verse 7, they were troubled. You see, this is how glory comes about. It's birthed through tribulation. And then in the second key thought that we see is the word judgment. In verse 5, there's righteous judgment that God gives. Part of that righteous judgment is that we face hardship, but then he repays those who persecute us. And that's part of his judgment. In verse 6, it talks about him repaying the tribulation. In verse 8, he takes vengeance. And then in verse 9, God punishes with everlasting destruction. And let me just tell you this. He only punishes those with everlasting destruction who do not believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It is the death, burial, and resurrection. And if you do not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you have not given your life to Jesus because of his dying for your sin, his being buried so he was actually truly dead, and his coming back to life so that he could conquer sin, so that he could pay the full and complete price for your sin. And if you've never believed in him and trusted him, then your future faces God's judgment. And that judgment is an everlasting destruction. And part of that is it's out of the presence of God, where you are removed from his presence. And that word everlasting destruction, I mean, it's just, it's so terrible. It's far worse than you or I could ever think about, because everlasting life is living with Jesus forever. Everlasting destruction is separated from him, punished forever. And it all hinges on what you do with your belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The next key thought in this passage, the third one, is the coming of the Lord. See, in 1 Thessalonians, every single chapter, every single complete thought in the first book that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he talked about the coming of the Lord. And he brought hope to them with it. And now, as we get into the second book that he writes to Thessalonians, he talks about it again. Because the coming of the Lord, verse 7 tells us the Lord will be revealed from heaven. It's going to happen. And in verse 10, when he shall come, he is coming back. There's no doubt about it. And so the coming of the Lord is a very important thought when it comes to his glory. And then the fourth thought is glory. Glory. Verse 4, we see glory. Verse 9, glory. Verse 10, glorified. Verse 12, glorified. That word glory, it's translated scores and scores of times in the New Testament as glory or glorified. But it's also translated a couple different ways. It's translated honor 3 times in the New Testament, praise 3 times, dignities 2 times. You're like, dignities? What's that? Dignities are authority and honor due to someone because of their position. And then the word glory is translated worship, or doxa, the Greek word, is translated worship 1 time. God's glory, praise and honor that he intrinsically deserves. That word intrinsically, it means it's a right someone possesses because of who the person is. God deserves glory just because of who he is, even if he never did anything for us ever again. The fact that Jesus gave us the gospel, since we have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he deserves the glory. But here's the great thing about God. As we just saw a testimony, God's not done. He's still working. He's still doing things. He's still moving. He is forever at work until he comes back. He deserves the glory. We are not now the recipients or the source for his glory. He's the recipient and source. You go, wait a minute. We just had people up here that they gave glory to God. You know why they gave glory to God? Because he gave it to them. Look at verse 12 with me. And it says, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no glory without his grace. His grace is the agent that provides for us to give him glory. And so because he gives us grace, we can shoot glory back to him. In Romans 8:18, it says, "For I know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is to come." So if you're in the phase of suffering, you're at the place where Scott was, where he had a broken chair, understand, the glory that's to come is far greater than the suffering you're experiencing. When Paul was diagnosed with cancer, the glory which is to come was far greater than where he sat when he was diagnosed with cancer. The glory that God reveals in us through himself, by his grace, exceeds any persecution or tribulation or hardship that you will ever endure. So verses 10 through 12, it's got a very specific application. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, that's what verse 10 says. When he shall come, this is the glorious hope, the confidence of the believer. He's coming back. Okay, do you believe he's coming back? If he's not coming back, he's a liar and we should drop our faith and do something else. Okay? That's the honest truth. Everything we believe about our faith hinges on the fact that not only did he come the first time, but he promises to come the second time. He is coming back. Okay? That is your hope. That is your confidence. He's coming back. says, when he shall come to be. That word to be, those two words there together, it's a purpose or reason for Jesus to come back. To be. So he's coming back for this purpose, to be. And what's that purpose? To be glorified in his saints. He's coming back so that we can reflect his glory. We can be the reflection of his glory. See, when Christ returns, we are the essence of his glory. Think about that for a second. We are the essence of his glory when he returns. The world will see in our gathering to him, they'll see Jesus. Our gathering at his return is the vision of his glory. Because he's promised it. He bases his entire self on this fact. I will return. And so when he does, every promise he's ever made throughout Scripture is finally and ultimately fulfilled because he came back. Verse 11. It encourages us, live now so that you are worthy of his calling to be the reflection of his glory. Live now so you are worthy. Now, when I look in the mirror in the morning, I see a reflection of myself. I don't really see my actual self. I see a flat image of myself. And if you get the right kind of mirror, I can even look skinny. Because as we look into our reflection now, we see it darkly. We see it imperfectly. Someday when we see Jesus face to face, we'll see him as he is. Our vision will be perfect of everything. But right now, we see things in a slanted way. Here's what we have to understand about our lives. We are reflections of his glory. We are not the source of his glory. But someday when he returns, we will be the vision of his glory. So right now, walk worthy of that. When he returns, somebody that you've been working with, you've never told them you're a Christian. In fact, you don't do anything differently than what they do. And he returns, and you are gathered, and they are not. And they sit there, and they go, what? That person was a Christian? Do you think that reflects the glory of God? You're not walking worthy. But when you share your faith and you live your faith, when he gathers you to himself, then you are the essence of his glory. Wow, they told me that they believed in a God who was coming back, and he gathered them. He did exactly what he said he would do. And at that moment, your entire being is brought to the glory of God. Then in verse 12, tells us that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you and you in him. Here's how that works. Okay, and I think it was in the year 2003. I got to go to the Detroit Pistons versus the Philadelphia 76ers playoff game. And it was in Auburn Hills. I had tickets to the game, and I went with a couple people. We wore Piston shirts. We screamed and we yelled when they scored a point. We hollered and we cheered. When Allen Iverson scored a point, we sat on our hands and didn't cheer because he was on the other team. And the final score was 78-77. The Pistons won. Now, all of our cheering and our wearing the Pistons shirt and all of that, it would have the glory that we gave to them throughout the game. When they hit a free throw, we would cheer. When they grabbed a rebound, we would cheer. When they made a good defensive play, we would cheer. And our cheering was praise to them. We were heaping glory on them. But you know what? There was no guarantee that they would put that glory back on us. See, if they would have lost, all of our praise would have been wasted. Now, fortunately, that day they didn't lose. And we walked out of there, wow, can't believe they won. Rip Hamilton hit the shot, and we win by a point, and we were just walked out of there, and we were basking in the glow of the glory that the Pistons allowed on us. This is why Michigan and Michigan State football fans are so down, because their teams don't reflect glory back to them. It's disappointing when you cheer for someone and they can't bring resolution of that glory back to you. Here's the promise. Jesus is not going to let us down. Jesus Christ will be glorified in you. And you will be glorified in him. Because when he returns, every person you've ever talked to about Jesus, it will be proven. All the naysayers, the atheists, all the people who want to take the glory of the creation of God and say there is no God that created it, it's all a big accident. You know what? When Jesus returns, his glory is manifested to all of us. And there is nothing that anyone will be able to do but to say, he is awesome. Now, there will be a period of time where he'll judge the world. You know what? We're not part of that judgment. We are freed from that. Here's the thing about Christ. He will never let us down. When the final buzzer of his return sounds, all the glory that we have sent his way, all the honor, all the praise, all the worship, it will be returned as he showers victory on us. And the glory that he will send back our way, it validates our praise to him. Now, verse 5 gives us an awesome thought. In verse 5, it leaves a lasting application. It says, that you may be counted worthy of his kingdom. Are you counted worthy of his kingdom? Are you walking? Are you living in a way that's worthy? I'm going to close with this illustration. When I was in high school, our football coach got called away while we were running, while we were warming up. And he said, I want you to finish your calisthenics, and then I want you to run 10 40-yard sprints. So he went away. All the coaches, they had some kind of meeting. I think the principal went over there. They all were meeting. So now I was one of the captains, and so my job was to get everybody to finish stretching, finish the calisthenics, and then run 10 40-yard sprints. We got about 3 or 4 40-yard sprints in, and a couple of the guys looked around, and they're like, coach will never know. And so they quit running. They just stood there on the yard line. The rest of us, we ran 2 or 3 more. And about half the team, they're like, wait a minute, the coach isn't even here. Why am I running? And so less than half the team is running when we're about sprint number 8 of our 10 40-yard sprints. And guess who comes walking around the corner? Coach. And half the team's just standing there lollygagging. At least that's what Coach called it. Lollygag. I still don't know what a lollygag is, but they were lollygagging. And so when he saw them, he became unglued. Now, was he mad at the guys who were running? No. We were praised. We got a water break. We got to cheer the other guys as they ran 20 more 40-yard sprints. Because here's the truth. Those who are prepared at the coming and who are walking worthy are glorified in their faith. And those who are not are punished. Are you ready? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you want to be glorified in us. Because, Lord, we are not worthy of ourselves without your grace. There's nothing that we bring to the table that would say we need to be glorified. But Lord, your plan for us is that through you, through your grace, each one of us can be glorified in you and be glorified through you. And that, Lord, you in return will be glorified in us at your return. So God, I just pray that we would walk every day worthy. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's never believed in that precious gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray that just right now, that they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. and say, Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I believe that you took my place. I trust in you to save me today. Lord God, change me. Make me what you want me to be. Help the power of the resurrection to be alive in me. And Lord, if anyone will confess that with their mouth and believe that in their heart, Lord, you will save them today. And Lord, for those who are saved, I pray, God, that we would walk worthy of you, of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing the song, Glorify Thy Name. And I hope that's your heartbeat today. I hope that you can do that through your life. If you've never trusted Christ and you'd like to talk to me about it, I'll be standing here at the front. Or maybe while I was praying, you trusted Christ. Would love to hear that you did that. Would just invite you to come down, shake my hand, and say, I just trusted Christ as my Savior. Let's sing it out to the Lord to glorify His name. Can send your way all the praise, all the honor, all the worship, because Lord, you're worthy of all of it. I thank you, Lord, that someday you will return. We look forward to that day. It's a blessed hope for that glorious appearing that will take place. And until that day, Lord, help us to walk worthy of the one who has called us to be part of your kingdom. So God, to you be all the glory. Now unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb, and to his Spirit, be glory and honor and power, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you, glorify him.